Welcome back to Timeshare on PANJRadio.com. I'm your host, Marie Jackson, and today my guest is photographer Brad Oliphant. You can call in with your questions or comments at 609-460-4673, or you can text me live at 215-470-1288. Before we went to the break, we had just started to talk about removing blocks. And the introduction of the course tells us, quote, "The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. Knowing what you went through in your troubled days before the course was introduced to your life, can you reflect back now and see anything that resembled love's presence? And how do you see those days now? You mentioned earlier that you think that a lot of that was a great gift. I'm thinking of the beginning of the introduction. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary." That's the part that I want you to get to, if you can.
Yeah, this is a very instrumental, this introduction to the course. And I think it's so very powerful. It's worth repeating for a moment. You know, I'd just like to reread what you said about the introduction. It starts by saying, "The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love. For love cannot really be taught. Love can only be experienced." And then it goes on and says, "For that is what beyond can be what can be taught. It does aim at, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The goal of the Course in Miracles is to attain and to keep a peace of mind. And to attain and to keep a peace of mind only can come about through removing the blocks, which are our judgments, our fears, our doubts, our hatreds, our special relationships. All of these to be removed with the helping hand of the eternal guide. You know, it's like removing clouds before the sun. You know, removing a cloud. The more you remove, the more the sun shines through." Mm-hmm. And the Course says a cloud cannot put out the sun. We can obscure the sun, which mm-hmm. we've all done a very good job at. You know, mm-hmm. we've overlaid and covered mm-hmm. this divine spark within us to the extent to where we don't see it anymore. But the goal of the Course is to help us remove these blocks to the awareness, heightening our awareness of its presence within us to where it can extend outside, you know, and it's through that extension that we share it, and through the sharing we increase it, and so we grow in the experience of understanding what love truly is. You ended by saying, and it does say this in the introduction, this is a required course.
A required course.
That's, the Course in Miracles is a required course. It really doesn't have anything to do with the Course in Miracles. The curriculum that the course teaches mm-hmm. to know love, to know God, to know your true self, whatever measure we choose, whatever religion we follow or path we choose to take, it is a required course. It is necessary that we remove the blocks before love's presence that we have placed prior to becoming aware of its presence in our own lives.
You're taking me to a place when I used to do some work. I did some work inside the Department of Corrections for a number of years. And it's hard sometimes to convince, it was hard for me to convince a lot of the students in my classes that they were worthy of that. Mm-hmm. They were worthy that the love was there. They wouldn't be here. They wouldn't exist if that love's presence wasn't there, but that it had been covered over with lots and lots of layers of behavior and chemical introductions, mm-hmm. whatever it was that we thought at the time would keep us safe.
Yes.
And then they think that, well, I'm not worth it, and God has forgotten me, and on and on. That's the hardest part is recognizing the blocks, understanding that we're forgiven, and allowing ourselves to just shine.
Absolutely. And you know, you just brought up a beautiful point, and this is radical, what I'm about to speak on, but the Course does say that God does not forgive because God does not condemn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there must mm-hmm. be condemnation prior to mm-hmm. A requirement of forgiveness. So
there's no need to forgive.
How powerful. There's nothing to forgive.
Nothing to forgive.
You know, all of our quote-unquote sins are nothing but mistakes. They're wrong choices. You know, it's arrogant to say that there is something that could be validated as powerful as a sin that the Holy Spirit doesn't have the power to remove. You know, so the Holy Spirit can easily remove mistakes and correct them with love. Everything is easily corrected to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit only knows that love is the only thing that is real. Everything else is a figment of our own imagination. You know, so these requirements that we're speaking about are the relinquishments of our own control and allowing an internal guide to help remove these blocks so we can become aware of it. You know,
huge.
Our goal is not to seek for truth. Our goal is not to seek for love because we don't understand what these things are. We can experience them, but we don't understand. Our goal is to seek for the obstacles we place before love's presence and ask for them to be removed from us. You know, the Holy Spirit needs an invitation. You know, it's not going to interfere with our own will. So ask, it will be removed, guaranteed.
In Lessons in Love, to me, anyway, is a visual meditation and retreat into the text of the Course and its intent with images, your beautiful images, that allow for reflection on each of the lessons. You must have gone through thousands of images because the text is 1,000 pages long. What was your process in going through the text and matching the images together? It's a beautiful work of art. This book is a beautiful work of art. What was the process you went through in pulling the pieces together?
Well, you mentioned daunting, and it was daunting. When I first started this, I didn't know how it was going to be accomplished. You know, first and foremost, I had never had a thought about being an author or publishing a book. I did have thoughts of publishing magazine articles and gallery exhibits, but nothing on this level. And so it was very daunting, but over the years, you know, I have libraries of up to 100,000, 200,000 images.
Oh, gosh.
Jeez. And these files are huge. You know, I have
sure.
over 7-6 terabyte hard drives filled. You know, that's just unfathomable to most people. They can't fill 1 terabyte up in a lifetime.
I'm not sure I know what a terabyte is, but
a terabyte is... A terabyte
it's
is
a lot of space.
A hundred thousand gigabytes. Or
oh gosh!
Something on that level.
Wow!
Don't quote me on that. Math is not my forte.
Our little secret.
Course is my forte.
Yes.
So yeah, it's like I had enough to pair with every teaching in the book, and what I tried to do with every pairing in Lessons in Love is to equate a visual that would resemble and offer reverence to its teachings. So, for example, one of my pages is about holy relationships. I have a pair of silverback monkeys,
yes.
A mother holding her young.
Oh, spectacular photo.
You know, holy relationships, you know, joining. You know, so I try to do that throughout my entire book. And where I didn't have a picture, I would shoot specific images to pair with the quote.
With
so it was a daunting process. In total, it took me about 4.5 years to comprise this whole book. But it was a true labor of love. I didn't, from its very beginning, I was passionate and enthralled in the process. I couldn't wait to get in front of the computer to let this interdictation that Helen Schuchman talks about
yes.
that channeled The Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
I experienced this on my own personal level as well.
Wow.
This ticker tape, this feed that just coming in, and it would stop when I wasn't ready, and it would come back when I was. It just a ticker tape, and you just followed it and put the words down, and I was getting page numbers and chapter headings,
oh, wow.
and you know so. And then when it was completed, it stopped, And now I'm trying to find it again. I know the goal is not to find it again. It'll come again. Okay. But now I think I'm grounded again. Now I need to read my own book and put it to practice, because to know it and to read it is one thing. It's probably 1% of it. 99% of it is the application. Mm-hmm. Am I applying this in my life? Mm-hmm. Am I really putting forgiveness forward? Am I turning to my own internal guide? Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to sit here and talk to you, but another to apply it.
Well, that is one of my questions. How do we? Because there's so much in this book. There's so much in the course. And I have on-air conversations with Douglas twice a month to talk about the course and understand it in order to apply it. Mm-hmm. Because it's great if we have this understanding over here, but if we don't practice it, if we don't really make it work for us, it loses its value, I think, because we're still staying in that separation. Okay, I've learned this, I know this, it's over here, but my life, what I consider to be real, is over here. And they don't necessarily go together. And what's the process that you use? And I would think that it'd be a little tough to do in the hubbub of New York City, because you're in and out of New York City a lot, and there's a lot going on up there.
Well, you know, the course is constantly teaching us to be still and to step back and not to react. You know, conflict is the problem. You know, so it's a process of stepping back, and it is a process. It took me many years. I'm in my eighth consistent year now of vigilant study with this Course in Miracles. And it is a process of stepping back, listening, being quiet, which I do with each time I shoot. You know, this process precedes every shutter that I take about going inward and listening to these thoughts that are coming to me, and putting them to practice. You know, I find that when I do step back, that things show up in my life for me that are here to help. You know, they point me in the right direction. They relinquish the fear. They take away shame. They take away the finger that's pointing outward. You know, that we are responsible for what's going on in our own mind. We are the one responsible. You know, the Course says, it's a beautiful quote about, it says, you know, herein lies the power of salvation. You are doing this unto yourself. We give ourselves our own prison. We release ourselves. We are our own saviors. It's by our asking for the help and recognizing that we are the ones that are in control of our own minds, that the internal guide steps forward and takes care of it all for us.
It keeps coming back to that, doesn't it? It keeps coming back.
It has to. You know, the search is futile as long as we continue to search for our salvation
outside.
And quote unquote, that word salvation can be very daunting itself. You know, salvation is really nothing but the removal of the blocks that we place before love's presence, the removal of all fear and guilt and shame.
So salvation then is a function of the ego's recognition, because we're already saved. We're already saved. We just don't recognize it.
But there's a process of salvation, of undoing, which is called the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
It's the undoing of everything, the undoing of each block that we place before love's mm-hmm. presence. And that's necessary, because even though we are saved, we've layered that salvation. The layers now need to be taken off with the help. You know, the Course says that you who have taught yourself amiss should not be your own teacher. So to think that we can go along and do this our own way and do it ourselves is quite arrogant. You know, to come into the awareness that we need help is very powerful. Like Marianne Williamson quotes, when our knees finally hit the floor, and we question the validity of our own reality, we gain all power.
Let me quickly reintroduce you. You're listening to Timeshare on PANJRadio.com. I'm your host, Marie Jackson, and my guest today is photographer Brad Oliphant. Lots going on here, and we're running out of time faster than I was hoping.
No.
We were going to run out of time. Let me talk a few minutes about your new book.
Yes, yes, yes.
Congratulations on the release, Enlightened Blooms. I took a quote from your introduction. We walk down a city block fixated on our own problems and our work, and all the while there's beauty passing by. In the book's pre-release, we're told, Oliphant encourages a deeper appreciation of the beauty that continuously surrounds us. Beauty is mentioned twice there. Can you tell us how all this came about? That's a magnificent book.
Oh, for sure. But first, I would just like to give a shout out to Marta Hallett, who is the founder and owner of Glitterati. I am so grateful for you believing in my work. They just won the Lucy Award for Best Publisher of the Year. Incredible turnout of this book. It's a glorious book. By the way, this Enlightened Bloom, Solarized Diptych Florals, is an art book. Lessons in Love is a gift book. So they're two very different processes. And as glorious they both are, Enlightened Blooms is truly glorious. It's a very full page, 10 by 13 laminate art book with the process of solarization as on flowers. And Enlightened Blooms, the title speaks of two things. It speaks of my own enlightenment, my own process of, as we were speaking, finding the Course in Miracles, becoming aware, asking for help, having the clouds be removed from me before the sun's presence. You know, this enlightenment process that's happening in my own life that has blossomed my career as a nature photographer. And it also speaks of the content, the flowers, the process that I put them through. What I've done is I've taken common subject matter, flowers, and converted them into abstract paintings through the process of somewhat infrared and solarization. And by the way, for those of you who do not know, I shoot digital now, but in the film era, solarization was a process done in the camera where it was just highly exposed and then overexposed again in the darkroom, where tones took on a linear format and things become heightened and more saturated and glowing. And this was all done in post-production now in Photoshop. But so this common subject matter is now being offered to be looked at through a different lens, through a different set of eyes.
Another way of seeing.
Another way of seeing.
I love that.
Another way of seeing. You know, it's like the course came about by Helen Schuchman, who received these interdictations saying there's got to be a better way. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a different way. Mm-hmm. And then the voice came. Mm-hmm. It's through that there's got to be a better way. What's not working? Why?
What am I not seeing? Yeah.
Why am I not at peace? I would ask people to question any religion, any path that they follow. Is it offering you peace? Mm. Is it offering you peace? If it's not, you know, ask for help. Ask that guide for help. It will, your path, your journey will show itself. For sure. For sure.
Well, I'm really enjoying the book, Enlightened Blooms, and as I go page by page, I think I'm learning a little bit more and more about it.
Isn't it beautiful?
We have just a few minutes left, and you had quoted a Russian proverb in your book.
Yes, yes.
I love that.
And isn't
I hope
it
that
great?
You, it's a great, great quote. Can you read it for us, or I can read it if you like?
Sure. Describe the picture first.
The picture... Actually, you would be much better at this. It looks like it's a simple flower.
It's a Cosmo.
Thank you. It's a Cosmo. Beautiful flower. The center one is in bloom, and there is an unopened bud to its right and an unopened bud to its left. And in the center is this beautiful white flower with a yellow center, as if it's undecided. I bloomed here, but there's a bloom over there that didn't happen, and there's a bloom over there that didn't happen, and the quote that you have on that page is, if you chase two rabbits, you will not catch either one. I love that.
Isn't that great?
That was great. That was great. Tell us what you're trying to have us understand there.
So it brings us back to the primary teachings of the Course in Miracles, that everything in our life is a choice. And the choice we make is either with a voice of the ego, which will always instill fear, hatred, and judgment, or the voice of the Holy Spirit that will always extend love, peace, and joy. So there is a choice to be made in everything we do, in every act we do. You know, which rabbit am I going to chase? Mm-hmm. And
we can choose the grievance or we can choose the miracle.
By that choice, that's right, that choice, the evidence will come, yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Just a couple more minutes left here. Let me ask you, how would you introduce children to the Course? How would you introduce the Course to children? Maybe that's the way to say it.
They would probably be better introducing the Course to us, because
they're more pure, aren't they?
They remember. They're not so far labeled and gone in the world's teaching. You know, that quote that I referred, you have taught what you are, but you have not let what you are teach you. They're in the latter half still. They're letting what they are still teach them, while they're in the process of the world labeling how they should look at it and should learn about it. So they would be a much better guide of telling us what the Course in Miracles is really all about.
So we should help to preserve that in our children and learn from them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if we were to introduce a Course to a child in need or a child in desire, just with all caution and extreme gentleness, as you would approach anybody really, even an adult, and to be open and kind and gentle and soft with the approach. It's all about love. It's all about love. If it's not about love, it's not about God. Plain and simple. It can't get any simpler than that. If it's not about love, it's not about God.
We have 1 minute left, and what I'd like to know is, although I think you're touching on it, if you could leave our listeners with just one or two final thoughts that they can take with them to change their lives, beginning with the close of this broadcast, what would those thoughts be?
Well, I had something prepared, but I would like to go to the Course, because I think Jesus does a much better, much better job at it.
Excellent.
So to all of you listening, I would like to say thank you, and God bless you and be with you and keep you. And from the Course, simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is, all concepts you have learned about the world, all images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false or good or bad, of every thought it judges worthy, and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught you, nor one belief you have ever learned before from anything. Forget this world, forget this Course, and come with wholly empty hands unto your God. For heaven itself is reached with empty hands and open minds, which come with nothing to find everything and claim it as their own.
That is a beautiful way to close this broadcast.
Thanks be to God.
Brad Oliphant, our time went by much too quickly, and I'm so sorry to close this up. Thank you for being my guest on Timeshare.
Thank you for that
beautiful closing. And please tell our listeners how they can reach you. Any events that you might have coming up? I think you said something earlier about a book signing.
Yes, I have.
How to learn more about your work and how to find your beautiful books.
Absolutely. I have a book signing coming up May 16th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Griffin's Editions, griffineditions.com. It's a full-service lab in Brooklyn, Park Slopes, that I'm having a gallery opening, a book signing, champagne, the whole works. Please join us. I would love to see you there. And to find anything and everything about me, including links to both my books, it can be found at bradoliphantphotography.com. Again, that's Brad Oliphant, OLIPHANT, photography.com.
Thank you, Brad. You have been listening to Timeshare on PANJRadio.com with me, Marie Jackson, your host. I am a holistic mentor in the field of metaphysical spirituality. I help people to manage stress, achieve goals, and realize personal power in work, relationships, and family dynamics by staying connected in daily living to the spirit of who they are. You can learn more about the work I do in the field of spiritually holistic living at mariejackson.net, and while you're there, you can hear past broadcasts of Timeshare by clicking on the radio page of the website. I welcome your suggestions for show topics or guests, so please text, call, or write me with your ideas. My guest next week is regular first and third Thursday contributor, holistic psychotherapist Douglas Economy. Douglas is my Course in Miracles tutor, so please listen in as I take my lessons on the air. Thank you again for sharing this time with us today. Join me every Thursday from noon until 1 as we explore the field of metaphysical spirituality. In the meantime, I wish you ease in living your wholeness. Mm-hmm.